Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be back here once again. Pastor Moses, thank you so much for inviting me and your team. Hallelujah. I've been meeting a number of you once in a while, and it's been a joy just ministering to God's people. And today we are on the Resurrection Sunday, and we remember the season, the reason why we are born again. Amen? If the resurrection did not take place, none of us would be here. Would be the most miserable people. Hallelujah. But because he rose, we know that our life does not end here. Hallelujah. We are all going to die at one point. But the difference with the rest of other people is that for us, we are going to raise with him and we are going to live with him forever. Hallelujah. That's why the resurrection is the most important event in the life of a Christian. Hallelujah. So I want us to go to the book of Philippians chapter 3, starting from verse 10. 10 and 11. Hallelujah. Philippians 3, 10 to 11. And I'm using King James Version, KJV. This is Paul saying, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is Apostle Paul speaking to the church, writing this letter to the Philippians, but he is under terrible suffering. Suffering not because he's a criminal, but because he's suffering for the gospel that he believed. At this time, Paul was in prison in a Roman prison because of the gospel. And instead of looking at his circumstances, being separated from the things that he wanted to do, separated from his dreams, separated from his family, from his friends, from everything that is around him, he's now, instead of crying and blaming God for what he has done, he's saying he's not even interested in anything, but he's interested in knowing Christ. Hallelujah. And the power of his resurrection. He's not looking at the circumstances he's in, but he's looking at what Christ went through to attain the freedom that he has, to attain the salvation that he has. He knows even if they kill him, even if they sentence him to death, there is something called the resurrection. This flesh here, just making it uncomfortable for some time, it can be screaming right in your face. And you just want to give up the focus and, you know, succumb. And just say, maybe you deny Christ and go and do what the world is forcing you to do. But Paul is saying that I may know him in this very circumstance, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Being conformable unto his death, the fellowship of his suffering. We are in a time and a season in this world where everything, people are just thinking only of prosperity. Churches are teaching prosperity. If you are in my church and, you know, you are still driving a Karibu, then you are not born again. You are not Christian enough. You don't have enough faith. Some of us, even me, I started preaching when I could not even, I didn't have even a bicycle. But I would preach. I went, wherever I went, they would, I hired a motorbike. Not hiring to have it, you know, taking me around. No. Get it boda-boda, take me to where I am. I'm going to preach. I preach the gospel. People get delivered, and I go away. I heard somebody saying, for my pulpit, for you to step on my pulpit, if you are still driving a Corona, you have not found the Lord. So for you to preach on my pulpit, you have to be on in a Prado and above. Now that is his pulpit. That is not the pulpit of the Lord. Hallelujah. What did Paul own? What did the apostles own? They owned nothing, but they had immeasurable riches. Because of the faith that they had, today we are here born again. Going to inherit eternal glory because of the fellowship of the suffering they had. Hallelujah. So Paul is not looking at the circumstances under which he's in, but he's looking at something greater than that. And he says, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, I want to resurrect to eternal glory, not eternal suffering. Hallelujah. Whether you don't know the Lord or you know him, when you die, you are going to live beyond here. Either for eternal damnation or for eternal glory. Paul wants to go for the eternal glory. Hallelujah. Now, when he's talking about this, he's talking about the suffering that Jesus went through. The attempts, Jesus went through the suffering which caused him to die on the cross, being punished, being hit. And some of you have never maybe you have never gone through near-death experiences. But there are people who have gone through near-death experiences. You go through something, and you see what death means. Death is an enemy. Death separates. Nobody prepares you for death. Even if you say you are prepared, you are what? When death strikes, it can disorganize you. Hallelujah. Was it Friday? This Friday. Good Friday. I was extremely tired. We had a church production. We had a production at church. My children were involved. They were supposed to be in the production. My wife wanted to go. But I thank God for the online services. I had been up and down. I have been on many missions. And my office, when you come from morning to evening, I'm talking to people. I'm praying for people. I'm swearing. You know, some of them we are wrestling. So I just told my wife, today I don't feel like going to church. I'm going to remain. Just go. Said, if you can go with these guys, go with them. Now she told me she won't go with the children. She decided to take public means and go. So I remained at home. I just wanted to rest and then watch the service later on the internet, on YouTube. So I'm at home. The service begins. I am there watching. Somebody gives me a call. Pastor Patrick? I answer. Where are you? I'm at home. The guy is, oh, God is good. I was worried that you were in a service and I would not get you. We have an emergency situation here. Please run here. And I ask him where he wants me to go. I tell him, no, I'm not coming under any circumstance. I'm busy. But I did not want to look at a traffic jam. I did not want to find myself in a traffic jam situation. I just wanted to be home. So the guy pleads with me. He says, we have somebody. He's under attack. This person is a big shot. I don't know what. Like, brother, I'm not coming. But if you can make it to my place, please do. So I give him direction. And the brother drives. He gets his patient. He drives back home. He reaches at about 9. My wife is still in the office. I mean, still at church. I live this side, where we're getting dinner. The church is in Makere. So they come, they drag this guy. They are supporting him. The guy is with his wife. They enter, sit. I give them a seat. And they begin to investigate how has been, how he, what has is troubling him. Guy had been in the hospitals. The thing started with, I don't know, blood clot in the hand, which they tied, reached the hospital. They gave him medicine. Then it developed a lot of other things. And he's a young man. He went to Nairobi Hospital, has been to the best hospitals around, but he's feeling life is going. They have booked a hospital in Germany, paid everything, the air ticket, everything. So he was preparing. That is on Friday. Now, so the guy's life is going. Now, as the wife was still explaining to me, the guy begins, he says, I want to lie down. He's struggling. He wants to lie down. So I say, I bring a mattress. They said, no, bring it. He asked for a mat. So I dash into the bedroom. I pick my wife's prayer mat, bring it there, get a pillow, put there, and I put the guy. We get him on the mat. I begin to pray for the guy. The wife is a medical person. As we are praying, the guy's life is going. And the guy is losing consciousness. Before long, the pulse is gone. He's not breathing. And I'm looking. The wife looks at me. The wife wants to shout. She jumps from the guy she had been holding and trying to look for the pulse and checking. So she jumps on the chair. Jesus, Jesus. She wants to yell. I tell her, no, he's still breathing. And the fact is, he was not breathing. So I'm trying to control the chaos. The woman not to shout, because when he cries, is going to bring chaos. I'm here praying and I'm asking God now, God, why did you do something like this? This guy had 1,000,001 places to die from. Not in my house. The guy is there. The woman feels separated from her husband. You know, losing a husband when you are still so young. You have young kids. Death is terrible. Death separates. Nobody wants to face death. It's brutal. It's bad. The woman is desperate. She's here. She's trying to call Jesus. She's panicking. I'm telling her, no, he's breathing. He's breathing. Now, I've worked. People have died in my hands in the hospital environment. I worked with the British health services. I know how to, do CPR and get the person, I was thinking, but that time I even forgot everything. I was just praying for the guy, rebuking the path of darkness. I prayed. The woman is looking at me. She's there panicking. She wants to yell. She thinks the guy is totally gone. The guy who brought them, she is also there looking at me. And I prayed, rebuked the path of darkness. I remembered every kind of situation. Then I remembered how I was, we got an accident. We got an accident with one of my girls. And we went to hospital. So they are still treating me. I had been injured all over. The girl had been injured. Then I saw this girl, the eyes going like this. And she's literally getting out of the body. The body is getting extremely cold. Have you seen when people are dying? There's a coldness that comes upon them. And, if somebody's... So I saw this girl, the eyes going the other side, and I knew now this is death. And of course, if she was to die there, they were going to tell us this is maybe she got internal bleeding. So I rebuked the spirit of death and prayed for that girl and prayed. All of a sudden, she just, and the pain went, the cold went. So I asked her, now, what was happening to you? She told me she found herself getting out of the body and going into a tunnel. And she was going at a very high speed. And as she was going, the tunnel became colder and colder. It became freezing. And as it was becoming freezing, that's why, the coldness was reflecting on the body. Now I was seeing this guy and I was remembering that incident. So I began to attack the powers that were pulling him into the tunnel, the endless tunnel, taking him deeper. I said, I block the tunnel. I command the guy to come back in the name of Jesus. Then all of a sudden, he jumps, he sits, he starts breathing. And we are asking him what's happening. And then I continue praying. I saw he was not stable properly. He sat, I prayed for him. So the woman comes down now. She begins gaining confidence. So I continue praying. I see the guy is still struggling, so I put him down. Again, I see him going, but I prayed, and eventually I saw him now. He has gained. He's very okay. So I asked him, now, can we put you on the chair? He said yes. So we supported him. He sat on the chair. I asked him a few things. He began telling me the history of his sickness, whatever. He began talking properly. And eventually, after some time, I prayed for all of them. Sent them back home. Yesterday, I called the guy. He had been treating some things that he thought maybe it was tonsillitis or something. He could not swallow. Eating was a problem. It had been there for days. He had every kind of complication. But I asked him yesterday, I called them in the morning. How was your night? He said they were very fine. He even reached home and ate, and in the morning he was very okay. The voice was high. So I really bless the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now we are talking about death. The death of Jesus. The death that separated him from the people that he knew. People who were his friends. The family. Jesus, when he was in the world, he was born into a family, a normal family. He had a father, he had a mother, he had brothers, he had sisters. And you imagine your son, whom you have raised, your Mary, you have raised this son. He's becoming popular. He's in the prime of his years. He's now 30. And he's now gaining crowds. People are following him. You remember one time when he was going to Jerusalem, everybody throwing down their garments, and some of them are putting down palm leaves, and his donkey coming on, they are singing praises. They are saying Hosanna to the King. Thinking he was going to be crowned. So you and the mother, you are seeing such success. Things are coming. And all of a sudden, your son is arrested. And the guys are beating him brutally. Hitting him. Left and right. Spitting on him. If you go to Mark chapter 15, you see how they spat on him. Mocked him. Told him prophesy. Hit him on the head. Made a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. Just get some barbed wires and try to place it on your head. You said you were a king. So the thorns are so bad, some of them break into the skin. They make you uncomfortable. They are piercing and pulling them. Brutal thorns going into the head. And if you have a mother, every blow you're feeling it in your heart. If you've been close to him. But there is something that has come and has separated you from him. He's suffering, but not giving up. He knows he has you and me in mind. We need salvation. We need to overcome this thing called the devil. Hallelujah. If we only reject their suffering, we are going to die in our sins. He has left all his glory. Because he's God himself. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2. Let's read there. From verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was in the form of God. He was equal with God. He was God himself. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You come to the earth and you should, if you are God and you're coming in the earth, you should sleep in the best palace. Let everybody worship you, bow down, sing songs about you, bring taxes to you, bring everything. You need to have soldiers around you, guards, everybody, you know, worshiping you. But he left everything. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and even death on the cross. Not any other death, but death on the cross. The emblem of suffering, being caned, punished by those whom you created. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and everything in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Humbling himself. That's why Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection and death. Conforming to his death and to his suffering. Are you able to stand his suffering? Some of us, you only go through, you know, you praise the Lord when everything is going well with you. Because a guy has proposed to you, now you get his photo, you put in the middle of your Bible. When you come, he open your Bible and see the guy, then you raise your hand to the Lord and you are praising. You are looking at the car he has, you are looking at the things he has. So everything is fine. So you are praising the Lord. You are successful. Everything is going well. The day the guy drops you, and this day is when they drop you, they don't do like Joseph. Joseph, when he saw things were tough, he went slowly. He quietly put her away. These days they put you on Facebook, I've broken up with that bitch. And they, you know, they don't do it quietly. Everybody knows now you can't come out. You hide yourself, you denounce Jesus because of just a boy. You don't know that there's a second chance. If you have such a boy, you praise the Lord and thank you for saving me from this thug. Hallelujah. But because that guy has become your God, he's the one who makes you come to church very early so that you can praise, have enough time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul says, I'm not looking at anything of this world. I'm looking at the fellowship of his suffering. Let this mind be in you. The mind that was in Christ. Being God himself, he did not consider to be God, but he came down, he lowered himself, he humbled and became of the person of the lowest estate. Hallelujah. Going down to the grave, seeing every kind of suffering. The Bible talks about how he was arrested and taken to the Garden of Gethsemane. And began to pray, pleading before the Father, if it were possible. Because Christ knew everything what was going to happen to him. The beatings, the crown of thorns, the cruelty of the Romans, and they are beating him. They are going to beat him. He knows where he's heading. But the guys whom he is with, who have accompanied him, for them, they are just in sleep. They don't know what is happening. But in Gethsemane, that experience, he experienced all human suffering. Beyond what some of you ever go through. Beyond what we shall ever go through. He experienced it. So when we call upon his name, he knows what you are going through. He knows the pain. He has experienced it. That's why the Bible says we have such a great high priest who went through everything that we go through. When we call upon his name, he understands. He's ever interceding for us before his Father. He says, I know what she's going through. I went through it. I overcame. Help that person to overcome. He wants you to overcome. He knows human suffering. He had to pray. Learn to pray. Hallelujah. even when you have nobody to accompany you, when you, whatever you are going through, the people that are around you may not understand, but he understands it. Hallelujah. He says, Father, let the cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours. Hallelujah. When you are going through that situation, some of us, we are focused on certain things that we want only that thing. If it does not come to pass, it's not the will of the Father, but your own will. You want to throw in your towel. You want to give up. You want to run away. Because your dream is being shattered. You wanted to become a king. You wanted to become something else. God has better plans for you. Hallelujah. He suffered to the point of death and death on the cross. And because of that, God elevated him. It is out of suffering that we get our crowns. The crown of thorns that the enemy is putting on you, God wants to use them to bring a crown of glory over your life. Hallelujah. And the people, you know, when Jesus was going through, when they got him and put him on the cross, they are nailing him, and he looks at the guys that are nailing him, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Can you imagine somebody gets a nail, he puts you on the cross, they are helping each other. I mean, the other one is holding you this way, this one is holding you, they are caning you. Then somebody gets a nail and places it in your hand and hammers, and you're feeling all the pain, and you're telling me that person doesn't know what he knows, what he's doing. He gets your feet and put them, then pushes a nail in there, and you're telling me he doesn't know what he's doing. Hallelujah. The guys, they knew what they were doing, and yet they did not know. Hallelujah. The battle was not between Jesus and the people. The battle was between Jesus and the devil. Hallelujah. So the devil just got people who did not know the word of God, people who were filled with jealousy, and he used them. If you are not filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, you are going to end up being used by the devil. And you don't know that you're being used. You come and spit on the master, and you think you are just spitting on him when a demon has entered you and is telling you, spit on him. And he come and say, now prophesy. You raised many others from the dead. Raise yourself. Jump out of the cross. You are the King of Kings, and they bow down to worship him, but mocking him. You know, mocking is from hell. Demons are using you to mock somebody else, to bring pain into their lives. Everybody is seeing here people hitting Jesus, but they don't know that these are demons that have possessed people and are hitting the Lord. Satan has possessed people. Hallelujah. So as he's suffering, it's not the Jews that are hitting him, but the devil himself, but he has got these people. That's why Jesus said, the things that stumble others will not fail to come, but woe unto him through whom it comes. Hallelujah. Satan can get you and use you to be an instrument of destruction. I have a young man, he became a devil worshiper. And the devil began to use him in the area of finances. He made rituals, a sacrifice, and got a lot of money. But the devil gave him money and told him he wants him to become his battle axe, his weapon of war. The money he was getting, it was to bring misery to people. He can come, and he comes like an angel of light. He wants to, you know, to nurture your dream. He goes where the children are, you know, like playing football, they look poor, they don't have shoes, they don't have the sportswear. So he goes, he buys for them, he raises, he sponsors them, and tells them he wants to nurture their dreams, take them to clubs and other things. And he begins sponsoring them. But some of them are to be introduced to homosexuality. Others were to be introduced to all kind of evil. Because the devil is using his money. You know, the spiritual world, God is spirit, and those who seek him must seek him in spirit and in truth. Satan is also a spirit. And because they belong to the spiritual world, and they are dealing with the physical world, they need a physical body to be used. God needs a physical body to use. Satan needs a physical body to use. Satan can plant somebody here in the choir and uses him to corrupt the choir. Subuga was in the choir. He would get a lot of money, but the money would spend a whole night in the toilet, in the latrine, before he would bring and give people. And people would think he's blessing them when he's actually cursing them. I see Christians every time when they're in problem. Mama Fina tuyambe, Mama Fina. Do you know where Mama Fina's money is coming from? She will give you that money, but it will mess you up. Because that money is not meant to bless you, it is meant to destroy you. So the guy would come with good money, clean money, and give you the choir. It will bring rebellion, bring curses, bring every kind of evil. He was there bringing demons of immorality all the time in the choir because he was an instrument of Satan. Working in rebellion, God works with humility, obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The suffering of Jesus in the garden teaches us that he would deliver us from our suffering. Hallelujah. Because he knows every pain. He knows how you can face a situation and you're praying and nothing is moving. You are looking for God and God seems to be so distant from you. That's why he cried on the cross and said, my father, why have you forsaken me? Not all the time you are going to cry and you are going to feel that God is there. There are times when you cry and God seems to be not there. He's distant from you. You are going through a situation. Can you imagine what I was going through on Friday? Saying, God, what is this? I did not invite this guy. I just wanted to have my peace. Now you have brought this guy. If you wanted to kill this guy, if you wanted to take him, his life, at least you'd have taken it away from, at least when you are still coming here. I would just maybe go and sympathize with them. Now you're here, you don't know what Bukede is going to say, and you know they hate pastors. They will have a story about a pastor. Now a pastor who has never worked with this guy, who doesn't know the guy, they just simply brought the guy to the pastor's place. You are meeting the guy for the first time, now it's like you are the one responsible. He died at the pastor's place. They would make headlines, and he's a big man. He's known. Known to big people all over. So he's not this one which you can just, you know, like try to cover. This one will be known. Hallelujah. They are there saying, God, where are you? I need you now. You either answer, oh, I'm finished. Guess as a man. A place of suffering. He suffered it. Crying, but God seems to be away from you. And yet you have to go through that to gain the crown. Hallelujah. And the devil is telling you now, jump out of this suffering. He provides very easy ways to get out. Jump out of the cross. For you are 3 days away from the resurrection. But the devil is telling you, no, you don't need to go to that cross. Just deny. Take a different course. Run away from this thing. You won't manage. Don't give up. Hallelujah. We have to conform to his death. The call of God is a call to death. Hallelujah. He has not called. You know, we used to have to sing those songs. Say, yeah, do you remember those songs? Hallelujah. So that you think when you're in Christ, the moment you enter Christ, you are in salvation, you are just going to float. Life, salvation is a... The life of salvation is floating on good things, enjoying yourself, going to the next level. You are moving from glory to glory and from power to power. There's no going backward. Hallelujah. I know people who said, you know, even when it comes to marriage vows, it is for good, for better and better. Not for better and for worse. No. It's for better and better. For them, they don't believe in any suffering. Jesus did it for us. Hallelujah. If he did it for us, and the man who, you know, the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul, he's writing, but he's in jail. He's in suffering. He's in chains. Are you better than Paul? Hallelujah. Jesus said, in this world you have trouble. But be of good cheer. Because I've overcome, you will also overcome. Hallelujah. His beating, his death on the cross and the resurrection shows us that whatever we are going through, we are also going to overcome. Hallelujah. I believe in God who answers. I've prayed, I've seen God answer people's, God bring healing, bring deliverance. But there are situations that I have tested my faith, where I prayed and said, God, where are you? And because I did not give up, I am where I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One time I was living in I lived in the United Kingdom for some time. I had been here, I got saved, I went through every kind of testing, and yet God called me. From the time I got saved, the call was very clear. God spoke to me several times. And confirming the very thing. So he gives me an opportunity to go abroad. I reach there. Life is easy. I'm studying. I have good jobs. I'm enjoying. And every time I thought home, it was not one of those places you would want to come. But one morning, he just told me, I want you to be back, to go back. And he spoke to me, and I don't remember the scripture, but it says, after David had built his house in Jerusalem, he set his heart to take his ark, God's ark, back to Jerusalem. And he told me, take my ark. And I was like, God, where is the ark? And the word was very clear. You are the ark of my presence. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You take God's presence wherever you go. He told me, take my presence back home. And it was up to me to decide to come. I rang home. I rang at the church, whether they had space for me. And nobody was welcoming me there. I mean, it looked like there was no space. I tried to look for places to start from. It was difficult. And the word was very clear. So I decided to come back. I left the job. I left everything. I had finished my studies and stayed there for 3 years, then left, came back. After studying, I stayed there, worked for 2 years, and the Lord told me to come back. So I come back. I said, I want to resign my job. So I just came to see how it is here, reached here, married, continued. I stayed here for 2 years without a job, and he's not permitting me to go back. In fact, I had to send a fax from here for resignation of my job in the UK. Meanwhile, life was hard. And after 2 years, God gave me a good job. I had gone to minister with some people. And they just liked me. They had put their company, had put a job advert in the newspapers. I did not see it. So this guy is, because they got so much interested in me, they called me and they are asking me, Patrick, did you read this newspaper? Now, I was away from the papers. I didn't have money even to buy papers. And I said, I haven't seen anything. He said, We advertise a job in our office. Are you interested? They described for me the job. I said, okay, I am. I was ready. They told me to bring my CV. I phoned, people had put in their CVs, people had been interviewed. Me, I went, I put in my CV, and we sat with the guys, just chatted. You know, they were asking me, are you married, whatever. We had just a little talk, and they told me, the job is yours. There was a Prado there. There was no housing allowance. There was everything that I needed. Man, I went out of that office when I was happy. Hallelujah. I was happy. I went home. I told my wife I would picture myself getting out of that office, driving, parking, and doing all the shopping. And everything was good. There was medical insurance, everything. Now we prayed, we praised the Lord. Then a call came in, and they were calling me to church. And they were offering me a job at church. The church did not have an office. I was to work from a hall. The salary was miserable. Everything. And I'm like, God, what is this? They don't stay where you say, devil, you a liar. Hallelujah. I'm like, is this you or it is a devil? So I come back. I tell my, I was very discouraged, by the way. I had wanted to be in the church. Now I have got a very good job. But something is telling me inside, you are supposed to be in the church. And that's where my problem now came from. I was discouraged. I just went, told my wife about the church offer and whatever. So I knew now I got somebody to say no. At least if my wife would say no, that would be very good. I would have a good excuse. Hallelujah. So she said, let's pray. Let's pray over this. Let's give it time. And we prayed, and to her, she begins telling me, I feel you are supposed to be in the church. And that's what I was feeling. Hallelujah. I looked at the other job. At the end of the day, anyway, to cut the long story short, we turned down the offer. We went for the church. And from that time, the moment I stepped in the church like this, that's when God brought a young girl to my house who was a devil worshiper. We began the deliverance of Erica. We fought. The battles that I had, God began to bring people, and I had to bring them home, to carry them to the office. Some of them, I had two girls, Erica and some girl called Beatrice. I would carry them to the office, go back with them home. If I was with the other job, none of such things would not happen. Today I have the Subu girls and many of that kind, because of this decision that I took. It may not look like, you see, if we are looking at certain things with a worldly eye, you are going to miss out on God's promises, on God's mind. Hallelujah. Your body can be speaking something totally different from what God wants you to do. That's why Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Hallelujah. Our bodies, they want to be comfortable. They want the best. Because this body is not going to live beyond here. Hallelujah. Whatever you do in this body, the body wants it now, now, now. That's why the devil will tell you to commit adultery, because you are going to end here. It is ending here. It is not going beyond here. But your spirit that is going to live beyond is telling you, don't do it. The devil is telling you to take a bribe, but your spirit is telling you, you are going to pay for this. Don't do that. Hallelujah. The call of God is a call to death. There are certain things that you have to die to. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, I died to that Prado. I died. Died. I did not have a car. Now I have been here. It's like everybody had ignored my coming. They didn't want to give me space. So now the devil is telling you, now you can show them. You are still there. My friend, you have to die. Kill that thing that is telling you are still there. He humbled himself to the point of death, and death on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to die. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 from verse 1. The Bible says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We have turned away, one to his own way. The one has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us about this Jesus. The Bible says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he has grown up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall look at him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's nothing to be attracted to Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes salvation is not that, because salvation is not that glamorous. Somebody thinks for, you know, we used to look at pastors and we looked at where they were flying all over, they are doing, I don't know, many things. And we thought ministry is like that. You reach there and you begin flying and whatever. My friend, they are trials. Hallelujah. They are trials. They are those who have sold their souls. And everything has goes like, you know. The crowds, you make a fellowship like here, then you have, I don't know how many services in 1 week. I mean, in a few months, the crowds are pulling here. The thing becomes very small and you are looking for another building. When you have a ministry like this one and struggling to maintain even a congregation, then somebody thinks you are not anointed. You are not anointed. Who told you? You are called. Hallelujah. But God will get the people that he wants. You know when he called Saul? Everybody rejected him. Who is this guy? But God touched just a few. And they moved with him. They clung to him. And before they knew it, God had already established him. God would just touch a few to move with you. But you have to pass through Gethsemane. You have to pass through the suffering of his resurrection. But at the end of the day, there is a crown. Hallelujah. 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 We are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from Christ. Is it suffering? Is it whatever it is? Is it pain? Is it suffering? Nothing can separate us from his love. Hallelujah. Poverty cannot separate us from his love. We are more than rich. Paul said, we make others rich and yet we are poor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they tell you, you know, that guy who was dying, he was dying with a lot of money. You know, he makes business in billions. His businesses are in billions. But life was going out of him. They were not waiting. Those billions were not going to help him even get to Germany. And in Germany, there was nothing. Because the guys who are killing him, they are killing him spiritually. They are using stuff which they cannot find in the hospital. They are checking everything they have done, every form of test, all the suspects. There's nothing. The guy seems to be normal, but he's dying. Hallelujah. He's here with a woman. The woman is seeing that her successful husband is dying. And she has, the money cannot help. Hallelujah. That is the mystery of Christ. Money you have, people have all the money, but you know, it cannot help. But the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Of the things in heaven, things on earth, and things under. Hallelujah. Those demons that were killing the man, I think they just wanted to do a crash program and finish the guy right in my eyes, before my eyes. You wonder, why did this guy die earlier? Why did he come to my house and die and make a story? Because the things new, if we don't finish the job now, we have no answer. We shall never have any chance. In the hospital, it was okay. They would wait for him to be there and die slowly. But where he had come, they knew now. It is either now or never. And they came full swing and put the guy to death completely. I saw the guy, you know, you hold the hand and the thing is here. No energy, no nothing. The woman held the hand and fell like this. And the woman, she wanted to yell. And I'm like, he's still breathing. He's still breathing. But the brother is not breathing. The brother is gone. Hallelujah. With all his money, with all the businesses, everything gone in a second. Paul says, we make others rich, but we are poor. Has not called us, you know, to drive Benzes and own hotels and I don't know, own what. We have riches. The Bible says they did not look at, you know, they not look at the cities that are built with human hands. They looked for something that is built by God himself. We are going to a city that is built by God himself. We are going to streets that are made of gold. Hallelujah. Because Peter asked Jesus, for us who have left everything and followed you, what shall we get? He said 100% in this world and 100% in the world to come. But to get 100% in this world, you don't just wake up and, you know, get there. You have to pass through certain trials, certain temptations. Hallelujah. And you have to overcome. Trust the Lord and overcome and be strong. Hallelujah. I want to know the power of his resurrection and his suffering. They are spitting on you. They are doing everything in the office. They have ganged up against you. And the only solution you have is either to give up on God and do what they are doing, because you stand in their way. They operate in cliques. They want to eat money, and which is not right. And you as a Christian, the mind, your conscience is telling you, no, you can't do this. So if you say no and you are not putting your signature there, you are becoming a hindrance and they begin persecuting you. Jesus said, when they reject you, know that they first rejected me. Hallelujah. One time I was going through a certain situation and I went to my first spiritual father. Those days I had not known much about Christianity. I thought when God calls you, everything, everybody will be clapping for you and welcoming you and, you know, giving you platforms to preach and, you know. But I found totally different things. Rejected. Things are not going the way I want. So I go to my spiritual father and I tell him what I was going through. Share with him what God had been speaking to me and, you know. And he told me, Patrick, if you came here and he told me all those things, and you told me everybody was clapping for you and welcoming you and, you know, giving you platforms, I will tell you, you have a very fake, that is a fake ministry. It's not from God. But now that they are rejected, you are being rejected, you are welcome to the club of the rejected. Hallelujah. Paul was rejected, put in prison, but he looked at what his master went through. We have been rejected. You want certain things to go, you know, but you look to the Lord and appreciate him for everything, knowing that in this world we are here but for a season. If God has given you where to put your head, He has given you a job, be grateful. It's not going to be like that always. He's taking you somewhere. But be grateful for everything that He's given you right now. Pray, believe in Him. He will give you a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Suffering may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. 3 days He was in a grave, but on the third day He did not remain in the grave. On the third day, the angel came and removed the stone. Even your stone will be removed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. After you have been beaten, after you've been tossed, after you've been buried and left alone, rejected, separated by death, on the third day, you raise in the name of Jesus. That is the power of the resurrection. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that works in the church. Hallelujah. Today, as we remember the resurrection, I want to encourage you that Christ wants to use you. God wants to use you. But you must pass through the resurrection. Let's read the scripture. It's in Jeremiah. Let me look at it. Jeremiah 51 from 30. 51 from 20. The Bible says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapon of war. For with you I will break in pieces nations. With thee I will destroy kingdoms. And with thee I will break in pieces the horses and his rider. And with you I will break in pieces the chariots and his rider. With you I will also break in pieces man, woman, and with thee I will break in pieces old and young, and with thee I will break in pieces the young man and the maid." He says, "Thou art my battle axe." You are my battle axe. He wants you to be His battle axe, His weapon of warfare. Hallelujah. Jesus came to be God's weapon of warfare. Through Him, He has established a whole kingdom. And you cannot be His battle axe when you have not gone through the refining fire. When you have not gone through death. When you have not killed the flesh and its desires. And known the fellowship of His suffering. Hallelujah. He wants to raise you. He wants to use you. He wants to resurrect the things that the enemy has killed. Hallelujah. If you only remain focused on Him. The power of His resurrection will turn you into His battle axe. When the devil was celebrating with his demons and celebrating that he's dead, now he has given up his ghost. He went and wrestled with those powers. And set the captives free. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "He who ascended, first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And led captive captivity." He went into the lower parts of the earth, wrestled with the powers of darkness. And raised us. And gave others apostles, others evangelists. He gave us every kind of gift. Because He went down. Colossians chapter 2 says, "We who were dead in the transgression of our sins, as God raised us together with Christ, having forgiven us all our sins, He removed every handwriting that stood against us and nailed it on the cross and openly triumphed over the powers of darkness, over prosperities and powers. He openly triumphed over them." When they were celebrating, He was dead. He went down where they were and destroyed them. Because of the suffering He went through. He humbled Himself. That's why Paul is telling you, let this mind be in you. Christians these days want to be up there. If you don't raise them to become assistant pastor, then there's trouble. They steer the waters around you. If you don't make them the elders, no. Humble yourselves. Hallelujah. Then you discover they have gone with a part of the congregation and they are doing stuff. God does not work like that. That is rebellion. That is from hell. Satan started with rebellion. Because he wanted to be the most supreme being. To be worshipped by everyone. And the angel Michael resisted him. But he had convinced one third of the angels. So they were held down. And that's the source of the rebellion. Now the kingdom that you are in is a kingdom of humility. Having the mind of Christ. Not looking, wanting to be, you know, the best up there, you everybody worshiping you. The greatest, Jesus said, the greatest shall be the servant. Learn to serve. Learn to be a servant. Learn to humble yourself. Learn the power of resurrection. In the due time, he will raise you to where he wants you to be. Hallelujah. Let us stand up in the presence of God as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, the power of the resurrection, the greatest power the world has ever experienced. That is the power of humility, the power of suffering, power of suffering for the right cause, not suffering for anything. Some of you suffer because of the sins you committed. Then you think, you know, you are just suffering for Christ. No. Suffering for Christ is suffering for righteousness. Hallelujah. If it is losing marriage because of righteousness, that is suffering for Christ. The Lord wants to touch you this morning. The Lord wants to bless you. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you want to receive him this day, I want you to put up your hand wherever you are. In this Resurrection Sunday, you can raise up together with him. The Bible says, we who are dead in the transgression of our sins, has he raised together with Christ, having forgiven us all our sins. He removed every handwriting that stood against us. He wants to remove every handwriting that is written against you. He wants to bless you. If you're here and you are not born again, you want to receive Jesus, just put up your hand wherever you are. We don't have such a person. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. The glory of God is here. The anointing of God is in this place. We are going to worship the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord in maybe a song or two. Then I'll be praying for people. I want to pray for you. If you're here and you're going through a situation, just prepare to come forward and we are going to be praying for you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.